Number 83 from February 2013, The Only Security. I was looking at a carved wooden figure of a camel that I had bought in Israel 40 years ago, and it reminded me of the Magi coming from the east to worship the new baby king of the Jews. But my mind quickly wandered from that scene back to the experience that I had in my visit to the Holy Land when I bought that camel. I was 21 years old and a senior in college, and I was too young and dumb to even think about any dangers that such a trip might entail. My mother had earned the trip for me by organizing the expedition and signing people up to go. I went in her place, so I was one of the leaders of the trip. I realize that sounds a little bit like the mouse guarding the cheese, but I was the 21-year-old leader. When we were traveling in the mountains in the southern part of Israel, we all fit into three buses. However, the driver in the bus in front of us apparently rode his brakes a little too hard, descending the mountain, and the bus in front of ours caught on fire. Our luggage was on top of that bus, so without thinking, I jumped out, climbed up the ladder, and started pitching suitcases and bags off into the ditch. Some of the bags exploded open when they hit the ground, but at least the clothing didn't burn up. It was only afterwards that I thought that the bus could have exploded and killed me, rather than just burning slowly to a crisp, as it had done. I never thought of that. But remember that I was 21 and indestructible, or at least I was in my own mind. That's probably why the military wants young people at age 18 or 20. They don't believe they can be killed. They can see guys drop all around them and still say to themselves, "Yeah, but that won't happen to me." That's why teenagers drive cars 100 miles per hour and drag race and do donuts with vehicles, because they are young and indestructible. There were certainly signs of destruction all around me as we traveled northward in Israel. There were burned out tanks and military vehicles along the road left there from the Six-Day War with Egypt just a few years before my arrival. There was tension then in the Middle East, just like there is tension now, but it didn't seem to faze me. However, when we were heading home and crossed from Israel back into Jordan, the guards there did not seem to like us very well and tore our luggage apart and tossed our clothing around like it was confetti. When our translator told the guards we needed a bathroom, he motioned to a cement fortification. The women were to go inside the empty cement shell, and the men were supposed to go outside. They held machine guns on us every step of the way, which was more than a little unsettling. I'm not sure I can say this delicately, but let me put it this way. It is a difficult thing to start with a machine gun in your back, but once you get started, you can go like a racehorse. It was at this precise moment that some of my innocence and invulnerability left me. It dawned on me that these guards could shoot me and stuff me in a culvert, and there would not be one doggone thing that anybody could do about it. I realized that there was not much of a due process of law in some parts of the world, and I was in one of those parts. We made it through that checkpoint and winged our way back to the good old USA, and I remember clearly the spontaneous cheer that arose in the airplane when we banked to the left, and there was the Statue of Liberty outside the window. I was glad to be on safe soil and secure again. But now, our soil is not safe either. That was all before the Twin Towers went down. That was before the terrorist plots in Oklahoma City and in U.S. embassies throughout the world. It was before the Unabomber. It was also before some of the senseless tragedies that we have experienced lately. My wife Deborah is still shaken by the slaughter of 20 kindergartners and several adults in Newtown, Connecticut. She said, "That's the same age as Cooper and Tyler, our twin grandsons." It is unthinkable and an unimaginable tragedy. We wonder if there is any place that is safe anymore. You're not safe walking across a college campus where there is a tower with a guy and a rifle. You may not be safe in a McDonald's restaurant where a gunman might come in and start shooting. You are not safe in a movie theater where an automatic weapon-wielding wacko might slay a few dozen movie lovers. You're not safe walking around in a mall where crazed individuals have opened fire on innocent shoppers. You are not safe in your own bed where a serial killer might sneak in and seek you out for his own demented reasons. My conclusion is that this side of the grave, there is no place that is safe. We seek security in many places and in many things, but there is no security. The only real security we have is in the Lord, because he is the only one who is forever and will keep us with him forever. This life is brief and fragile, and it is very plain to see that it can all be taken away from us in an instant. Only the Lord remains. That is why Jesus urged us to store up treasures for ourselves in heaven, not down here on earth, because they won't last here. That is why we try to do those things every day that have eternal significance. We pray, we meditate, and we worship. We kiss our children, hug our aging parents, and help our co-workers. We speak kind words, let go of resentments, and help those in need. We live each day as if it were our last, because it just might be. We are prepared for what is next, and that's the good news.